نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان المنافقين في الدرك الاسفل من النار صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers, elders, sisters listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just want to take you back a few years. Probably a very difficult period for most of us when we were going through COVID. If you imagine what was happening during that time, you know, people had heard about this outbreak that came from Asia, passed on to everywhere we go. We were getting messages on social media, on television, on the news that this is a serious, serious disease, a serious outbreak. And everyone kind of become really concerned, you know. Then it came to a point where we went to a lockdown. I mean, when I mean a lockdown, we're talking about not just a national lockdown, we're talking about an international lockdown. Schools were shut, we weren't going to work, people were working from home, we couldn't communicate, we couldn't visit family and friends. Imagine, it was during the month of Ramadan, on Eid, we couldn't visit family and friends. You know, we were all social distancing. We became so concerned, you know, that do I have the symptoms? Because we heard this is a really serious disease. Do I have the symptoms? You know, the symptoms, even if you had the symptoms or if you were tested positive, you went into isolation for a couple of weeks and you couldn't meet anyone in the household. We were concerned about especially our elderly parents and family members who had other health issues. So this was a big deal. And imagine, at that time the symptoms were a fever, a cough, a sore throat, a bit of a cold. Imagine any time you got a cold or a sore throat or a fever, you were worried, oh my word, have I caught COVID, have I not? Now I'm not trying to bring back bad memories. The reason I want to mention about this is this is still fresh in our minds. Because today I want to talk about another disease. You know, COVID was a medical disease. Today I want to talk about another disease, which is termed as a spiritual disease. And this is a very serious disease. It's a disease that we all really need to be concerned of. Like we were worried about COVID during that period, like we were worried about the symptoms, this is a spiritual disease which also has seriousness, and actually it's probably far worse than COVID. Now, you know, in medical terminology, you know the worst conditions are the heart conditions. So those who are in the medical phase, they'll know the worst conditions are the heart conditions. So this spiritual disease is something which is attached to the heart. It encroaches the heart. So we've got to be really aware of this. And we've got to be on the lookout that do I have the symptoms of this disease? Now you're going to ask me the question, what is this disease? In Quranic terms, this disease is called nifaq. You must have heard of it, hypocrisy. Yeah? And you know hypocrisy and nifaq is such a serious disease, wallahi. I mean, if you want to know the seriousness of any disease, look at the consequences, look at the outcome. For example, when COVID, people had a loss of breath. To the extent people had to be hospitalized, put onto a ventilator. And some people who could not, who had other health issues, you know, Allahu Akbar, so many had passed away. So when you look at the consequences of disease, that highlights how serious that disease is. Now let's look at the outcome of nifaq. How serious is nifaq? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That indeed the hypocrites will be in the lowest pit of hell. Now imagine, in hell, the lower you get, the tougher it becomes. And the lowest pit, imagine, is for the hypocrites. Now, I don't want you to all be too concerned. Of course, this verse refers to nifaq akbar, nifaq with deen. Those who show hypocrisy in deen. So it's that individual whose outwardly appearance or his outwardly appears to be a Muslim, but he harbors disbelief and hatred and enmity in his heart. But imagine how serious this nifaq akbar is. You know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will be in the lowest pit of hell. In another verse of the Quran, Allah says, "Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum. In tastaghfir lahum 70 marratan falan yaghfir Allah lahum." Imagine this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being addressed here. And he's been told that if a person dies in a state of hypocrisy and nifaq, imagine who's been addressed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Istaghfir lahum." You know, he's telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's telling the ummah that you seek forgiveness for them or you don't seek forgiveness for them. Or you seek forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah would not forgive them. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not forgive a person who died in a state with nifaq, even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. So again, I'm going to refer to you clearly that this refers to nifaq akbar, al-nifaq fi deen, hypocrisy in deen. But there is a minor nifaq, a minor hypocrisy. And this is the one that this branches out. These are the attributes and qualities of a person who has nifaq, which is mentioned in the hadith, and this branches out to the believers too. So alhamdulillah, we may not have nifaq fi deen, but it's nifaq fi al-amal that we need to be concerned. Hypocrisy in our actions. What does it mean by hypocrisy in actions? Hypocrisy and nifaq in actions basically means a person is outwardly doing righteous deed, but in reality does not reflect who he really is. So openly people assume that he's such a righteous person, but in reality that's not the fact. You know, he behaves differently in public and behaves differently in private. I'll give you an example. Sometimes there's an individual who's amazing. You know, people praise him, he's got a great personality, so concerning, so helpful. But look at his behavior at home with his children and his wife and his kids. It's complete opposite. So this is what we call nifaq fil amal, the hypocrisy. And this is what we need to be on a lookout for. Imagine, take for the Sahaba. The Sahaba were always worried about nifaq fil amal. To the extent, I'll give you an example. The greatest challenge that the Muslims, the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ had in Medina were the munafiqun, the hypocrites. Because apparently they seemed part of the ummah. But they were always plotting against the Muslims, always plotting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and disclosed a list regarding who the hypocrites were. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards who is a munafiq in Medina. That information the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed on to Hazrat Hudhaifah radiyallahu anhu. Because Hazrat Hudhaifah had a great ability of keeping a secret. You know, he had a great ability to keep his... He didn't tell any other sahabi. He told Hazrat Hudhaifah only, he disclosed the list, that these individuals in Medina are munafiqs and hypocrites, so that you must be aware of them and make sure you see their whereabouts and what they're plotting. So the sahaba were always concerned. You know, to the extent that whenever someone passed away in Medina, they were always in a lookout, is Hazrat Hudhaifah radiallahu anhu participating in the burial or not? Because if Hazrat Hudhaifah participated in the burial, that was the assumption that that person is not a hypocrite. And for some reason, if Hazrat Hudhaifah did not participate in the burial, then people will make assumptions. Maybe he's not participating because this individual's name is in that list. So imagine Hazrat Hudhaifah had this list, and no one else had this list except Hazrat Hudhaifah radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, you know, imagine this. You know Hazrat Umar. We heard of Hazrat Umar, the second great Khalifa of Islam. This is the Umar we're talking about, is the individual who received the glad tidings from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ in this word, Umar fil Jannah. Imagine, this is Hazrat Umar, who from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ was told, you Umar fil Jannah, out of the 10 individuals, he was one of them. It's been mentioned, Hazrat Umar used to constantly go to Hazrat Hudhaifah and ask Hazrat Hudhaifah, oh Hudhaifah, please tell me, is my name in the list of hypocrites? He's a constant, this is a Umar who's been told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he's guaranteed paradise, was so concerned about hypocrisy fil amal that he should go to Hazrat Hudhaifah, please let me know, is my name in the list that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has disclosed to you? So that's why, my brothers, we all should be very cautious about hypocrisy. We should be concerned that is there the symptoms of hypocrisy within myself, you know? And the most important thing, we should be concerned about ourselves. You know, I'm going to tell you something. And this is literally a sign of hypocrisy. It's a sign of a hypocrite. You know, today, the problem is that we don't see a problem in ourselves. This is the problem today. You know, this is so common in society today that we see issue. We see the issue in our society that today we're always looking at weaknesses, faults, and shortcomings in other people. Always. Wallahi, today, we seriously, all we do in our congregations, in our gatherings, usko dekho, look what they've done, look how their marriage is going, and look what's happened in his business, and look what she's done, and what his child done. Wallahi, all we do, we always see the faults and weaknesses in other people. We never ever, turn a blind eye of the weaknesses and faults that we have in ourselves. You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of you sees a speck in the eye of your brother, but he doesn't see the log in his own eye. What he's trying to say, that we're always seeing problems and issues in other people, but we turn to not remember the faults and issues we have in ourselves. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O gathering of believers who've brought faith on their tongue, but faith has not entered their hearts, do not backbite the Muslims. Do not backbite the Muslims. And do not search into their private matters." Don't search into their private matters and their personal matters. Do not do that. He said, whoever searches the private matters, Allah will follow up in his private matters. Meaning, if you start looking at the faults and concerns and private matters of most believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look into your private matters. And whoever's private matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look into, he will expose him even if he committed that act in his home. So if you feel that you can hide your shortcomings from the world and disclose and expose other people's, then remember this, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely expose your shortcomings. You know, Hazrat Hassan Basri used to say that no one fears hypocrisy except a believer. You know, when you're a believer, you fear hypocrisy. And no one feels safe from hypocrisy except a hypocrite. Only a hypocrite will think that I don't have hypocrisy. You know, today, what it is, going back to the same point, today, when a person is a denier, when you deny the fact that there's something wrong with you, and you're always looking and searching for faults in others, then the issue is very rarely you get the ability to repent and reform. The reason being, you don't see yourself incorrect. You don't notice any problems in you. So, for example, an alcoholic, as long as he knows that alcohol is haram, inshallah, one day the doors of repentance will be open to him because he acknowledges this is wrong. As long as you acknowledge that you're wrong, then inshallah, one day you will get the ability to repent. But if a person does not see his shortcomings, he doesn't realize his own faults, he denies them, then rarely does that person get the ability to repent and reform and change his way. You know, today in society, you know, khair khwahi. You know, have you heard the word in Urdu, they call it khair khwahi. You know, love and concern for each other, for the community. Wallahi, today my brothers is absent within us today. Go ask the elders who came in the 50s and 60s. Ask them. We didn't have much wealth. I'm not part of that. But I was born in the 70s. But ask them. My parents came in the late mid-60s. They said they didn't have much wealth. When they came to this world, they didn't come with money. Wallah, they had love and concern for each other. They're concerned for the brothers and sisters. They're concerned for people of the region. They're concerned for family members and the whole community in Hawaii. Go ask them. Wallahi, there was not wealth that time, but there was so much love. I promise you today, you will all agree, today we have wealth, we have no love. Wallahi, there's no love within us today. You know, so recently people, just imagine, people attend a janazah salah. You know, mashallah, huge numbers. Yeah, most of the time, why do we attend? Mum batana, you know, to show face. That's the reason we attend. Because if we don't attend, people say, well, he didn't attend. Wallahi, there's no sense. And it's good, alhamdulillah, even if you're showing face, attend the janazah. But imagine, someone mentioned something so profound. He said, hundreds are attending the janazah of this individual who's passed away, maybe for elderly, because he's elderly, or because of an illness, or something's happened. How many of them ever contacted that same person during his lifetime? When he was ill, how many people asked about him, how are you? He even sent a message, we have WhatsApp, communication means are very easy today. How many ever even was concerned how he was, and just to show face, we turn up to his janazah. Allahu Akbar. You know, this is the problem today. Wallahi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, you know, I was with an individual who's sitting there criticizing a person. You know, this person's bought many properties. So this individual's criticizing, oh, he's got so many properties, but most of them are based on interest purchase. So he's, you know, taking loans from the bank. What benefit those properties to him? And that person's not incorrect. But the irony of the situation is that person indulges in interest himself. I know clearly that he indulges, and he's sitting there talking about someone else. You know, the Prophet Allah says, "Al-mu'minu mir'atu akhihi." Al-mu'minu mir'atu akhihi. Idha ra'a fiha ayban aslahu. The believer is a mirror to his believer brother. A believer is a mirror to a believing brother. If he sees any fault in him, he'll correct him. Look at the words the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used the analogy of a mirror. Now imagine this: when you look into the mirror, what do you see? You see your own shortcomings. You see any shortcomings, you see. In the same way, when you see a believing brother or sister, yeah, the first thing you should notice is those shortcomings in me. The mirror reflects and tells you what shortcomings you have. So when you look to a Muslim brother and sister, what you should notice first and foremost, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that is that shortcoming, is that evil habit within me? Second, always remember, the mirror only publicizes the fault to the person looking into the mirror. When you look into the mirror, we only see the shortcomings, if there are any. In the same way, when you're going to correct a person, wallahi, just correct him. Don't go and publicize it to everyone else of what they did. If you have the ability to correct him, then tell him. If it's someone affiliated who's concerned with him, tell him. But don't go and publicize their issues to the world. And the second thing, when someone approaches us, you know, when we see a mirror and we see a mark on our face or pimple or something, we don't go and smash the mirror. We don't go get angry. So if someone approaches us and tells us that, brother, you know, this is wrong or this is incorrect or you shouldn't be doing this, then in reality, we should accept that. We should become angry that this person at least has that concern for me, that he's informed me. You know, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recognize our own faults. You know, I'm telling you, we live in a hypocritical society. You know, it's such a hypocritical society. You know, nothing is done for the pleasure of Allah. Everything. You know what kind of society we live in? It's so selfish and so self-based that the only individuals we're concerned about today is me, myself, and I. That's all we're concerned about. Me, myself, my family, my children, my property. Who cares about him, my neighbor, or that person, or my brother, or my sister, or my uncle, or my aunt? Wallahi, we live in... You know, the hypocrisy goes so far that when we see someone succeed, yeah, we may praise them externally, but Allah forbid, we're burning in our hearts. We want them to fail. This is the society we live in today. Yeah, ask yourself this question. You see someone succeed, alhamdulillah, their children done well. They've done well in life, alhamdulillah. You know, something praiseworthy. We may externally praise them, but we're burning in our hearts. And when a calamity befalls someone, we may console them openly. We may say to them, Allah, may Allah make it easy. But inside we are happy. Allahu Akbar. This is the hypocritical society today. You know, when someone approaches us in distress and confines in us, you know, sometimes someone comes to us, there's an issue, there's a stress in their life, you know, they want to talk about it, they want to take it off their shoulders. You know, rather than listen to them, what do? We go and publicize it. They told you in trust and confidentiality, and what did you do? Go and publicize it. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not rejoice over the misfortune of your Muslim brother. Do not rejoice over the misfortune of your Muslim brother, lest Allah have mercy upon him and afflict you in trials. Don't ever rejoice when you see a Muslim in difficulty. Even if it's that person that you dislike, even if it's that person that maybe you don't have great ties with, wallahi, do not rejoice. Make dua for them, because if you do rejoice, this could happen. Allah has mercy over them and Allah afflicts you in that trial himself. There's a hadith the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is that once the Prophet ﷺ was making circumambulation of the Kaaba, you know, tawaf of the Kaaba, then the Prophet ﷺ addressed the Kaaba and said to the Kaaba, how magnificent you are and how great you are and how delightful you are. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ is addressing the Kaaba, yeah, our direction of the Qibla. He's saying how delightful you are, how great is your scent, how magnificent you are. But by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, the sanctity of a believer, his wealth and blood is greater in the sight of Allah than yours. Listen to this. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that the believer, us, our sanctity, our blood, our wealth is greater in the eyes of Allah than even the Holy Kaaba. And today, imagine, you know, what we lack today, you know, what we lack today is the example and the attributes of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, his compassion, his tolerance, his kindness, his empathy, his humbleness, you know, his truthfulness. This is what the Muslim community lacks today. You know, Al-Ithar, that's what they call, giving preference over others. Imagine this incident. Once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need something to eat. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to his wives and asked them, look, is there any food at home? The response was, there's nothing except water. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the companions who were sitting in the congregation and said to them, look, who will host this individual? So one Ansari Sahabi stood up, and he said to the Prophet ﷺ, oh, Messenger of Allah, I will host him. Yeah? Imagine, most times that's what we do. Before we ask our missus at home, we give da'wats and, you know, preparations. So he just said, yes, I'll. Then he went home and asked his wife, look, is there anything to eat? She said, look, We don't have much except a small amount, which is for our younger children, our young children. So then the Ansari Sahabi says, look, listen, do me a favor, look, don't feed the children. And if they complain, put them to sleep. Yeah. And when the guest comes, dim the light. So while he's eating, he will assume we're eating with him, so we continue to eat. Allah, imagine this. He said, no, no, put the children to sleep. There's not food, enough food for us. There's only enough sufficient food for the guests. So dim the light. So while he's eating, you know when you guests are eating, they feel ashamed if the host isn't eating with them. So if you dim the light, the guests will pretend that we're eating. The guests will assume that we're eating and will continue eating the food. This is al-ithar, my brothers. This is what we're lacking today. Compassion, forbearance and tolerance. And also, wallahi, giving preference of others over ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability. Now going back to the signs of hypocrisy. You know the ulama have mentioned numerous signs. Some have mentioned over 100 signs of a hypocrite. There's some have mentioned 70, 30, 40. I'm not going to mention all of them because we're time constrained. We don't have the time. So I'm going to mention a few signs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in regards to a hypocrite. Yeah? He said, amongst the signs of a hypocrite are three. Even if he fasts and prays and claims to be a Muslim. So there's three signs of a hypocrite. He said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. So, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ, whenever he converses, he lies. Majority of the time he converses, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَحْلَفَ, when he makes a promise, he does not fulfill his promise. And when إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ, when he's trusted with, he betrays that trust. You see, these are three things what the Prophet ﷺ says. You know, today, the Prophet ﷺ said, whenever he speaks, he's lying. So whenever he speaks, there's an element of lie in it. Imagine, he lies either to impress someone, he lies to get out of trouble, maybe he's lying to please someone. You know, there's different reasons why people lie. You know, imagine, we get late to work sometimes, yeah? We are called by our management team or employees. You know clearly that you've overslept. You had a late night, you overslept, and what do you say? Oh, seriously, bad traffic. You're lying. You know, sometimes you say, oh, you know what? I had stomach issues. You know, I wasn't feeling well. I didn't really feel like I'm going to come in. Though you know you overslept, but you lied. You know, imagine us children. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing my homework. When in reality, you know they're playing games. Some children, to the extent, you know, and this is advice for the parents, make sure they pray in front of you. If they're praying at home, make sure they pray in front of you. So many children will tell them, okay, go pray. They'll go to the room, they'll sit there for 10, 15 minutes on their phone, they come back and say, yeah, I pray salah. You know, lying is so common in society today. Wallahi, in every aspect that we do, we lie. You know, we lie to attain wealth. We lie in our claims. You know, we lie in our businesses. You know, everything we do, we lie. You know, and it's become such a disease that we don't even consider it wrong anymore. You know, it's become a norm of society. That lying is so affluent in our society that we don't even consider it's wrong. It's part and parcel of life to the extent that if you want to make progress in this world, you need to lie. You know, it's such a world that today, if you want to make progress, you need to lie. If you're truthful, you're not going to get anywhere in life. That's what people tell you. You know, wallahi, lying is considered as one of the major sins in Islam. You know, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, yeah, that truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. A person is so truthful in his life that he gets written truthful near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, falsehood, meaning lying, is wickedness, and wickedness leads to hell. A person continues to tell lies in his life that he's written as a liar near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so we got to be really careful. And the second and third, the Prophet ﷺ meant, that when he makes a promise, he doesn't fulfill his promise. And when he betrays his trust. Imagine, we've been trusted to do our job properly at work. We can't be spending time surfing and doing our own personal work. We've been trusted to take a break for 30 minutes and 45 minutes. We can't be taking overtime. We've been trusted to come to work on time. We've been trusted to make sure that if we're employees, we make sure that we pay those who are employed under us on time. You know, this is trust. We'll be trusted to do things around the house. Our families are trust. Our children are trust. And today, Allahu Akbar, Muslims are So, you know, we Muslims are one of those individuals that we can't even trust each other. It's come to an extent that it's very difficult to trust. A Muslim brother says, oh, don't worry, I'll pay you back. You know, if someone lends you money, he's trusted that you should pay him back on time. And today, it's difficult for us to even trust a Muslim. Imagine, the Prophet ﷺ, when did he receive revelation? At the age of 40. Before then, there was no Islam. There was no revelation. The Prophet ﷺ received revelation at the age of 40. Did he live in Makkah before then? Yes, he did. He was in Makkah before he received revelation. Yeah? What did the people in Makkah, before he received revelation, what attributes did they give him? What titles did they give him? As-Siddiq al-Amin. As-Sadiq al-Amin. This is even before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation. You know, he was their friend. He was their neighbor. He traded with them. He saw those same individuals face to face. He was known as the most trustworthy individual in Makkah. And this is all before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation. You know, this is what the Muslims lack today, trust. Parents can't trust their children. Allahu Akbar, husbands can't trust their wives. The wives can't trust their husbands. Brothers and sisters can't trust each other. We can't trust our own family. Forget the love and concern. There's no trust anymore. You know, remember my brothers, we all are ambassadors of Islam. Remember this. The non-Muslim doesn't see the Quran and Hadith. He doesn't see it. Very rarely do they. We are the ambassadors of Islam. If we're lying, if we're betraying our trust and not fulfilling our promises, imagine what kind of example we're setting out to the non-believers. Imagine, you know, what we do has an effect on the non-believers. There was one incident, I remember listening in the talk. You know, there was one individual, it's about a woman. She used to work in a gym, yeah? So she was at the reception. She used to work in a gym. So she mentions about her conversion of Islam. She says, I used to work at the gym. And I used to, constantly, all I was concerned about was myself and my body. You know, I used to work out, work in the gym. Whenever I got the opportunity, work out, because I want to make sure I toned my body up. The reason why I want to tone my body up is because the praises that people make. That look how she looks. It's amazing, man. You know, every time someone comes, we make a comment. And that used to really please me. You know, so for that reason, I used to work out, really, wear really tight clothing, you know, just to impress others. She goes, once there was a new member in the gym. So he came to me. And while we were conversing, he never once looked at me. He was always keeping his eyes down, and that irritated me. I'm thinking, what's the problem? You know, why is he not looking at me? Is there an issue? So I thought maybe the first time. Because constantly he joined the membership. He used to constantly come to the gym. But every time he passed by me or it was, you know, any conversation, he will always look down, not even look at me once. And that started to irritate me. You know, so intentionally I used to keep bumping into him to have a conversation. And he did the same thing. He would turn his face away. So this irritated me so much that all these people are coming, praising me about the way I look. And this person, he just like completely neglected me. What's his problem? So she says that I approached him and asked him. I said, listen, you know, is there an issue? Is there a problem? So he said, no, there's no issue. I said, what's the issue? There's no problem. Because look, every time we have a conversation or you pass me, you're always looking down or turning away. I mean, is there an issue between us? Is there something I've done? He said to her, no, sister, there's no issue with you. See, the issue is with me. You see, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer. And we've been instructed to lower our gazes. So we lower our gazes to suppress our desires. So I don't want to disrespect you. I don't want to ogle you at you and treat you like some kind of item. I want to respect you. To do that, I'm lowering my gazes. For that very reason, I don't look at you. And I walk away. And then he walked away. She said that comment had such a profound effect on her that short while later, she said the Shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Imagine. Wallahi, I can tell you numerous stories of revert Muslims who tell you that they converted based on actions of individuals. Based on actions. There was one revert who mentioned that I would never have accepted Islam if I looked at the Muslims because I did not see any difference between you and me. You lie, you deceit, you betray your own religion, you're disobedient to your Lord. I studied the Quran and Hadith. When I studied the Quran and Hadith, that brought me closer to Allah, not the Muslim community. Imagine this, if someone says that to us, what are we? Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us true ambassadors. And time is short, I'm just going to give you one more sign. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the munafiq. He said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالَى يُرَاعُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the munafiq, the hypocrite, approaches prayer, he comes in a state of laziness. He comes lazy, just for show. And he doesn't remember Allah except for a short moment. This is the attribute of a hypocrite. Ask yourself this question. You know, imagine how lazy we are in prayer. We're in prayer, some of us don't offer prayer. We're Jum'ah to Jum'ah. You know, we don't see the masjid from Jum'ah to Jum'ah. Remember, you die in the state that you lived. The way you lived your life, that is in the manner that you will pass. If you're a person who spends week outside the masjid away from Allah and only attends Jum'ah because you're worried that if you don't attend three Jum'ahs that you may become disbelief, which is not is incorrect anyway. But Allahu Akbar, what is? We find Salah as a burden. That's what they did. They used to come to prayer. They came last minute out of total laziness. Today, most of us, what are we? We're Ramadani Muslims. That's what we are. There's so many of us here, including myself, we won't be seen in the masjid outside Ramadan. We're Ramadani Muslims. Some people say we worship Allah, we worship Ramadan. It becomes confusing to us. We only worship Allah in Ramadan. We only attend masjid in Ramadan. We only recite Quran in Ramadan. So are we worshiping Allah or we worship in Ramadan? You know, you got to ask yourself that question. So when they come to prayer lazy, you know, like, oh, it's Salah time. I have people, they do iftar, they say, oh, I've done all the faraiz today. Do I have to pray Maghrib? Allah. You know, that's what they do. When they pray, when we're praying namaz, what focus do we have? 5 to 10 minutes we can't give to Allah. You know, you lift your hand, you say, Allahu Akbar. What are you trying to do? You're flinging the world away. Allahu Akbar. You're flinging the world. You're saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. We recite the kalima, La ilaha illallah. Do you know what the aspect, the demands of this kalima is? La ma'buda illallah, la mawjuda illallah, la matluba illallah. That there's no deity except Allah. There's no Lord except Allah. There's no experience except Allah. There's no purpose except Allah. And how do we pray? We pray Salah. It's a burden. We stand for Tarawih prayer. We can stand sitting in front of television, a game of football, or watching a serial or a movie. Ends on out. We could be on our phone. We stand in prayer and we get tired. We complain the imam's reading too slow. Allahu Akbar. Remember I told you about Qari Abdul Basit yesterday? Imagine, they were crying and we don't even cry. You know, this is a sign of a hypocrite, my brothers. The last thing, Hazrat Shaqiq ibn Ibrahim, a great scholar, mentioned 4 things. He says, every person claims that he's a slave of Allah. Every person claims he's a slave of Allah, but the way he acts is that he's not anyone's slave and no one's his master. Everyone says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer, the provider. Yet the way we spend our hearts are not content except with the wealth of the world. We say Allah is the sustainer, we say that. But we're not content without the wealth of the world. People claim that akhirah is better than this world. But all our day and night is consumed in trying to accumulate this world and we don't consider what's halal and haram. And we all claim that death is certain. Yet the way we live is that we're never going to die. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the symptoms of hypocrisy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hypocrisy, nifaq fi deen, and especially nifaq fi amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.